As we reach the end of the year, the month of December, I think there's a reminder to us about things that are coming to a close. We think about the closing of a year, and oftentimes we compare our lives to these seasons. We think about our lives somewhat as a cycle, as we pass through these various seasons of life, and as we edge closer to December, we're confronted with thoughts about things coming to an end. Here in Psalm 39, as David writes this psalm, David is struggling with an issue in his life. We don't know what. The Lord has not told us. David did not tell us. But yet in one of these psalms of lamentation, what we find is the struggle has brought David to terms with his morality. And if you notice in these verses, once again, in particular verse 4, he says, O Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. And he goes ahead then to talk about in more detail about mankind and about our fleeting nature on this earth. There's a similar statement made over in Psalm 89. This psalm, actually a psalm of Ethan, was written again at a time when the psalmist was struggling with things in his life. In particular, as he sees things that look like they're going unpunished, as he looks as though things are not turning out the way he desires, he actually makes a statement to the Lord. And in verse 47 of Psalm 89, he says, remember how short my time is. I think he's asking for the Lord's help, and I think he's asking the Lord to recall the fact that he is fleeting, as David said. But yet, as we look at these, while our thoughts this morning may not be in 100% context of the Psalms, I do believe that these two ideas should be a reminder to us of how quickly and how fleeting our lives are. Now, far from this being a depressing thought, that's not what I want it to be. I want it to be something that will spur us to activity. A reminder, as David wrote and as Ethan wrote, and where they said, we understand that we're not going to be here forever. We understand that we are of a fleeting nature. I want us to understand that about ourselves and to understand how that we should be busy. And this morning, as the first in one of four lessons, I want us to talk about things as we think about a December to remember. Now, I know while I shamelessly stole this from a Lexus commercial, I want you to understand there will not be a Lexus with a red bow for you outside. That's not a part of this series. But I thought that's a pretty good idea, that as we draw close to the end of a year, it is a time for reflection and remembrance. And so for the next four lessons, Lord willing, I want us to talk about some of the remember passages of the Bible, things that the Lord calls on us to remember. And as we've read this morning, I believe a very good place to start with that is remembering how short my time is on this earth. As we consider that, let's back up in seasons. And as we think about our lives being various seasons, we oftentimes compare youth to springtime. There's a lot of similarities. A lot of things that remind us in our youth of the season of spring and how things are growing and beginning and how there's promise within that. But yet, even at that time, the Lord calls on us to think about some things. It's part of our nature, I believe, not to think a lot about mortality when we're young. In fact, psychologists have studied this out. And they've come to the conclusion, and I think that really it didn't take a lot of study to figure this out, that in our youth, we have a feeling of immortality. That there is nothing that's going to stop us. In fact, I think a lot of times when we're young, it's not the idea of when I die, but it's the idea of if I die. It's just not something that really we've got as a major part of our consciousness at that point. I think that's normal. In fact, I think it would be somewhat alarming if you had a young person who was constantly thinking about thoughts of mortality and thoughts of death. But while the Lord says, don't let that be the entirety of your thoughts, He also says, make sure that it is at least a part of your thoughts. Look with me, if you will, over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Here Solomon, as he is completing this book, wrapping up the ideas of it, gives us one of the remember passages of the Bible. And perhaps this being one of the more familiar of these, I think it important for us to take a few minutes and just look at it this morning. When he says in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, in which you say, I'll have no pleasure in them." Solomon here is talking about a time in life when we are young. A time in life when we feel good. I think we all understand that one of the best ways to gain an appreciation for having good health is to lose it. All of these days that we feel good, we almost think that it's an unlimited commodity. That this is the way it's going to continue on. That becomes our thought. But I tell you what, let the flu hit or a stomach virus hit. And all of a sudden we are remembering with great longingness that time when we were in good health and that time that we felt good and the time that we would like to return to. And our youth has an abundance of those days. For most people, for most young people, sickness is not a big part of youth. Now I realize there are some who struggle with that. But for the majority, it's not the case. It is day after day after day of feeling good. And the Lord says, while that is a blessing from Him, He says, remember the Lord during that time, because those days are limited. And He continues on as we look down to verse 2, as He begins a rather poetic description of what's going to happen. He says in verse 2, "Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors of the street are shut, and when the sound of the grinding is brought low, and one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Solomon, in very poetic terms, says, you're going to get old and fall apart. That's what this passage says. In very poetic terms, he says your hair is going to turn gray, your teeth are going to fall out, you're going to lose your sight. It's the process of life. He says that what's going on here, you start out with your strength of youth, and you remember, though, that that strength is gradually going to go because this body is not prepared to survive forever. And when that happens, Solomon says, you need to remember the Lord. You need to think about the Lord when you are young, to recall the time that in your youth you're going to be able to serve Him with a vigor that you'll not have in other times in your life. And I think he writes again in the book of Proverbs in chapter 20 and verse 29 when he says, "The glory of young men is their strength." He says one of the advantages of youth is the time when you are the strongest. And so what's the point of all of this? Well, the point of all of this is, he says, don't squander what you've been given. Don't blow this time that you've been given, because it will not return again. I don't care how good we feel as we get older, it will never compare to the strength that we have while we're young. And so as Solomon writes this, he says to us in our youth, make sure that you're not blowing it. And so we have to ask ourselves, as we are young, those who fit into that category this morning, those who are young, where is your strength? What are you participating in? Where are you using that strength? We know that there are a lot of things when we're young that we enjoy doing. I think when we're young, that's a time that, especially in more modern times, is very much associated with physical fitness, sports kinds of things. And we think about young men who often brag to each other about how much can be bench pressed. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Because youth is a time when we are strong, when we feel that, when we enjoy those kinds of activities. It's a time as well in modern times that we devote to educating ourselves. We're going to spend some of the prime years of our life in college classrooms. We're going to spend a lot of time learning and getting degrees and such. And of course, youth is always associated with having a good time. We know that. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless any one or all three of those things takes all of our time. The young man or young woman who is constantly on the sports field to the detriment of everything else in life is squandering youth. The young man or young woman who is constantly in a college classroom and that is the 100% entirety of thought is squandering youth. The young man or young woman who is constantly out seeking a good time, seeking to have fun to the exclusion of everything else is squandering youth. How do we know that? Because the wise man said to us that we remember our Creator in the days of our youth. The first and primary, the most important thing that we must establish when we are young is that we are going to use that youthful vigor. We're going to use that strength. We're going to use that energy in the service of God. Do these other things have their place? Absolutely they do. But not to the exclusion of remembering the Creator. And so as we consider that idea, I would say one of the saddest sights that we can see among young people is a young person who is strong and who is smart and who is sharp, who refuses to become a Christian or chooses only nominal interest in spiritual matters. That's a sad sight. It's almost like the guy who comes into a good deal of money, who's blowing that money in the most crazy ways, and it's gone. Well, as fleeting as that money supply is, so is the strength of our youth. And we've got to make sure that we are not allowing this blessing that God has given us to be used in a way that does not glorify Him. And so perhaps that brings us to the question of, well, you know, what do we do? What can a young person do? May I answer that question by example? It's interesting to me how much the Lord has told us kind of indirectly about youth and using it for the Lord. We think about Joseph, who by the age of 30 or so was the prime minister of Egypt. Why? Because he stayed faithful to God. Because during the times of his youth, when things were not going the way that he thought they ought to go, he didn't give up on his faith. And we think about a young lady by the name of Ruth, who was the sole support of her mother-in-law. We don't know how old Ruth was, but she was a young woman. And we understand that she was giving up her interest to take care of someone who was near to her. We think about David, who very early in his young life was anointed king. Of course, then in the meantime, before he assumed the throne, he was in all manner of difficult situations, yet he maintained his faith in the Lord. We think about a young teenage mother who was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And we think about a young man who actually occupies a great deal of the New Testament thought, Timothy, who was a preacher of the gospel at a very young age. And while the Lord does not come out and say to us, okay, young people, you can do A, B, C, D, E, while He doesn't do that, what He's done is He has covered the Bible with examples of people who are remembering their Creator in the days of their youth. Why? They're remembering how short their time is. They're remembering, like the psalmist, that life is fleeting. They're remembering, as Solomon said, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And that's what I encourage all of our young people to do today. And as you consider the things that you can do in the Lord's service, let me encourage you to think outside the building. There are things you can do here, things we need you doing here. There are a lot of young men who take a very public role in participating. That's a wonderful thing. Young men who are training themselves to lead singing and to preach and to teach classes. That's very good. We have a number of young women who are preparing themselves for the godly work that's given to a woman, of training up young children, of being an encouragement to those around them, of being a good wife, of being a good mother. But I would encourage you not to think solely about what goes on here when you think about your work of the Lord. Leading singing is great. Preaching a sermon is great. Teaching a class is great. But that makes up only a small percentage of the time that the Lord has given to us. In your youthful vigor and energy, think about the time that you are committing to studying the Bible. Think about the time that you are committing to helping those who are in need, of visiting those who are discouraged, of helping friends to know the gospel. It's almost unlimited what a young person can do in the service of God. While I suppose maybe there are a few things that are reserved for us when we get older, there's not much that can't be done when we're young. Having that energy, having that description as Solomon gave us in our youth, to remember the Lord. And I encourage all of us who are in the springtime of life to remember that very thing. But spring passes, doesn't it? And before too long, we're knowing that winter is approaching. And even in physical nature, we understand that the autumn winds are reminding us of that coming winter. And I think we understand that as the seasons of life progress, they remind us that December's coming. They remind us that the psalmist says that there are going to be occasions when we are not going to be as strong and as fit as we used to be. And as the psalmist tells us, there's going to be a time when we depart. And so as these seasons of life progress, I think we are reminded of the need to make sure we're not wasting our time past the springtime. That we're making sure that we are remaining true and faithful to God no matter what. As we consider that, we need to understand that God has expectations for young people. But God also has expectations for older folks. It's not something we outgrow. In fact, just the opposite. It's something we grow into. Let's finish that verse that we started earlier in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 20 and verse 29, it says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." Typically, the word splendid doesn't go with graying hair, does it? I don't think that Solomon's telling us to take a literal view of that. What he's saying is, it's the wisdom. It's the idea that you are becoming more God-like, that you are becoming more of what you need to be as you grow and mature and progress through these seasons of life. And so let me encourage all who are in this particular category to realize this, that as we grow older, it doesn't mean that we're finished living. As we begin to grow older, it doesn't mean that we are retiring. I think that also is one of the saddest things in the Lord's service. We talked about the young person who's not being faithful to the Lord. What about the older Christian who's kind of taken a back seat and he's retired? I tell you, I get kind of discouraged when I hear older Christians say, "Well, I'm giving that up. I'm going to let a younger generation take that over." Well, now I understand some of those times when the windows are growing dim and the grasshopper is dragging along that we can't do what we used to. But if we have the ability and we have the strength and we have the know-how, we don't quit. We don't say, "Well, I've hit this chronological age of whatever and therefore it's time for me to wrap it up and hang it up and give it up to somebody else." Let me tell you, just as the Lord taught us about young people in the Bible, He's taught us about older folks too. Let me just remind you of a few here. Remember Caleb? End of his life, what, in his 80s? He says, "Give me my inheritance and I'm going to go take the city right now." with the vigor that he had as a young man. We think about Daniel. I believe so many kids' storybooks about the Bible have led us to such a wrong conclusion about Daniel in the lion's den. How is Daniel depicted when he's in the lion's den in some child's book? You know, he's a teenager and he's standing there in his youthful vigor. Daniel was at least 80 years old. Probably older than that. Because he had lived through the entire Babylonian captivity. And saying he was taken at the age of 16 would put him, what, about 86? Daniel went to his room and he prayed, knowing full well the consequences of that. Here was a man who could have said, I'm old, the Lord's going to understand, I couldn't survive that, I'll not pray to him publicly, but I'll pray to him privately and he'll be pleased. Daniel would have none of that idea. And in his older years, he set the example that has continued to be taught for thousands of years since that point. We think about a man who maybe doesn't get quite the attention of others, but you remember young Joash, when he was spirited away, his grandmother was killing off all the royal heirs, and he had an aunt and uncle who took care of him. Jehoiada was that uncle. Men were not living to be much older than we live to be at that time, except for Jehoiada. It says that Jehoiada died at 130 years of age, full of good days. I firmly believe the Lord allowed Jehoiada to live because of the good influence he was exerting in the land. 130 years old, and he's still serving God. He's still serving the Lord. We think about the prophetess Anna, who was widowed at a very young age, and decade after decade after decade after that, she's serving, doing what she can. Does the Lord give us a list of here are the things that older people should be doing? No. No more than He does the young. But all of these examples show us that no matter what your age is, when the opportunity presents itself to serve the Lord, you serve the Lord. You don't retire. You don't quit. You don't give up. And I believe if the Lord had that in mind then, He's got it in mind as well now. So, what can an older Christian do? We know what passage to go to, don't we? Titus chapter 2. We oftentimes turn here as a lesson, an example of what we can do. Verse 2 of Titus chapter 2 begins, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise would be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine, there to teach what is good, to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. That's what we do as we grow older. And I think sometimes as we get older, we somehow have this impression that young people are going to come sit at our feet and beg us for the wisdom that we've gained over the years. And we say, well, I'm ready to tell them if they come. I'm going to tell you, they won't come. You got to go find them. Why? Because sometimes we don't know what we need to know. Sometimes in our youth, we think we have all the answers and we need an older man and an older woman to say, hang on a minute. There are things that you need to be doing and to teach. And speaking of teaching, we need older people who are teaching classes. I don't know how many congregations I have been in with good, seasoned, sound, older men who have a vast amount of Bible knowledge who say, I am too old to teach class. And as I think about that, I think about a man by the name of Bruce Crawley, who I believe at about age 85, took his stool to the front of the congregation and taught a class. He could do it. He had to modify. The strength wasn't there like in his youth, but he did it. I would say more that at any time you are qualified to teach a class. When you've lived, when you've experienced, when you've learned. And people need that. This morning we begin the process of appointing elders. There's a reason God didn't call them youngers. This is the work of an older man. This is a man who has lived. This is a man who knows how to guide. This is a man who knows how to handle situations in the Lord. Does the Lord want godly older men serving His elders? Absolutely He does. Stand as an example. If there's nothing else you can do, show people what it means to be a Christian. And that list could go on and on. But I think we understand that no matter where we are, if we are close to that December of life or we're heading in that direction, God doesn't say to quit. God doesn't say give up. God says continue on. So as we bring these thoughts together, no matter what season of life we're in, no matter where we stand, there are things we need to know. And first of all, it's we don't know where life will end. We have no idea when we'll be called to meet our Lord. We read about the sad story in Decatur of two teenagers who were killed over the weekend. We think about people who lived to be 95 and 100, and who had good long lives, and all of those in between. We have no idea. Therefore, we must remember our Creator whenever, wherever, whatever stage that we're in life. Because whenever we're called to meet Him, we want to be ready. And I would remind us as well that as we live, we're going to have failures. And those failures are going to remind us of the mortality that's upon us. Every time we sin, I think we are reminded of that mortality. I'll reference back to Psalm 39, where we read earlier, where David is in some kind of dilemma in his life, most likely caused by something wrong. And he's crying out to the Lord. And what are those thoughts? It's the ones that we read. Lord, I know how fleeting life is. Teach me to number my days. Help me to remember that. And so each time we fail, we want to get back up. We want to make it right with the Lord. But we want to let that be a reminder to us. We're not going to be here forever. The Lord did not create the earth as a place that's going to be of perfection where people will stay forever. Our time here is very, very limited. But with those failures, let's remember that every time we find strength in the Lord, it's going to remind us of our immortality. That while in our mortality we sin and we fail, we remember the grace of God. And we remember a Father who says, if you fall, get back up. If you fail, try again. I want us to look at one more psalm that I think will help to illustrate this point. If you look over to Psalm 103, there's the ideas of mortality addressed in these verses, but let's pay particular attention to the last verse that we find here. Beginning in verse 14, the psalmist writes, "As for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more." But now note verse 17. "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." We're going to get older. If God gives us life, we're going to have our disabilities. We're going to have our problems. We remember that we are like grass, don't we? But at the same time, we need to remember the steadfastness of the Lord. That the Lord, while He is not terribly interested in preserving our physical bodies, He is very interested in preserving our immortal soul with Him. And every time that we see that strength, let's let it be a reminder that what is mortal is going to be raised in immortality. Finally, I would suggest to us that no matter where we are, no matter what stage of life we're in, God expects us to work. God expects us to be busy. And every one of us wants to hear the message that was given to the faithful servant in the parable of the Lord. When it says his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." That's what we're after. Whatever time in life we're called to meet the Lord, whether it be early in our spring and summer years, or whether it be later in our fall and winter years, we're all going to meet the Lord. And wherever we are, we want Him to be able to say to us, "Here is a servant who worked tirelessly during his sojourn. Here is a young people who bucked the trend of other young people and did what was right. Here's a faithful older Christian who did what he could, who did what she could, who worked for me." Because you see, our time is coming. And we should remember, as the psalmist, how short our time is. And when we remember how short time is, it reminds us to serve God faithfully every minute that He's given to us. We don't have time to squander. We don't have time to waste. God says for us to get busy, to work, to be faithful to Him. And the rest that we desire will be given to us by the Lord's side. Thank you for your attention this morning.